How's it going? Good. These are hard to reach right there. You guys okay with that? Okay, so I want to do something cool this morning. I'm going to preach, right? But I have a question, but before I ask you this question, I just want to say good morning. My name is Gordon. I'm really proud of this worship team that we have here. I'm really proud of the youth in this church, high schoolers and middle schoolers. This is an amazing body. This is really cool. It's a cool place to be. So I have a question. And this is just, I don't know. I've been befuddled by this, but it's going somewhere. So here's my question. Was there a need for miracles in the Garden of Eden before the fall? It's like a really deep theological, it like made a baby cry. That is, I'll never ask that question again. I'm sorry. Mom's like, why did you ask that? The one question. I was thinking about that because we're talking this morning about a holy dissatisfaction. The main verse I'm going to be focusing on is John 14:12, greater works. And it's like, I wonder if there was a need for that before the, probably not. Right, this is just my analysis. Don't take this as like sound theology, but I mean, Adam and Eve were in perfect harmony with God. Why would they need anything in addition to that? It was perfect. But then the fall happened. And then all of a sudden, they were desperate for a miracle. Am I right? So imagine that. Imagine being in perfect unity with God. And then immediately being cut off. But now imagine the inverse of that. Imagine being cut off from God and then experiencing unity with Him. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Because Jesus came and He showed us that. He showed us what's possible when you have unity with God. So I've got an intro for us here. This thing on. Check. So this is a map. This is a chart. This is another chart graph there. This one's cool because those colors there are represented by the percentages. The percentages represent the color in that circle. It means absolutely nothing. Here's a picture of Merle. Just thought I'd share that. That's from last week. If you look closely, you can see the glory coming off of him. So what are those pictures, what are those charts and graphs have to do with my message? Absolutely nothing. I just like this picture. I just wanted to build up to this picture, really, is all it was. So again, I want to accomplish something this morning. I want to stir up some faith. I want to stir up some excitement in us to follow Jesus. But not just that, because we can get all excited to follow Jesus and then leave here and it's Monday, right? I want us to be dissatisfied. A little bit this morning. Dissatisfied with anything other than living in unity with God. And then I want to talk about what it looks like to live that way. From glory to glory. So I've got a couple verses that I'm going to focus on this morning. But I want to really start off by sharing a little background. Because I've known I was going to preach this week. For a while, the Sunday after Easter, I kind of got the wild card sermon. I could preach on whatever I wanted. And that's like really exciting. But then it was, okay, God, what should I preach about? Nothing. Blank. And I was like, well, that's going to be an easy sermon. Good morning, my name is Gordon. Jesus is awesome. Amen. Have a good week. You know, it's it. Done. Easy planning. Got nothing. But then about 3 weeks ago, my wife and I were having this conversation. And if I was to be honest, it was actually more of a disagreement. Not like a downhill, like not like a fight. You should never do this anyways. But not, well, it was. We were having a very difficult conversation about where we are in life. You know, we're celebrating 8 years of marriage in June. It's awesome. And if we were to look back on the past 8 years, we did some great things. what we were really talking about was this dissatisfaction with how we've let God work in our life, or lack thereof. It's like we want God to work in our lives more than he has, more than we've allowed him to. And we've done some great things. I mean, we've raised, you know, we're raising two kids, bought a house. You know, we've got some things that we're proud of. But we're talking, you know, have we even asked God to show us miracles in our life? Well, probably not. Not much. Not like we want to. And that's where this dissatisfaction kind of comes in. Because as we're having this conversation, I start feeling like the buildup. Oh no, what's going on? I think we're having a fight. My spirit's like, oh yeah, something's about to go down. Because that's how my spirit's rowdy. It talks like that. And then my ego's like, dude, you better survive this, man. Because that's how my ego, it's like a surfer. But we want to see God move. We want the best that God has to offer. Really is what it comes down to. We feel this buildup. It's like, we want the best of you, God. We want the best of you. The poet and philosopher Vanilla Ice said it best. Anything less than the best is a felony. Where have I gone? All right, so if we choose to act in the power of God, I'm going to stick to my notes. If we choose to act in the power of God, this is sort of the premise of my sermon here. If we choose to act in the power of God, allowing God to work in and through our lives, I think he is the one who turns this dissatisfaction into a holy dissatisfaction, and then therefore into incredible opportunities to move from glory to glory to glory in our lives as we invite him into it. So what do we do? How do we move from here in a holy dissatisfaction to glory and glory and glory, to there? How do we do that? We'll talk about that. There's three things. You can write these down. We'll cover them as we go. But the three points I want to make is living in Jesus' resurrection power. That's a great statement. We just celebrated Easter. What's now? Living is now. Living as if Jesus really did come back to life. Point number two is going to be, we're going to need some childlike faith. Because that's kind of hard to believe, if you're to be honest. Point number three is, none of this works without some sort of vision to where God wants to take you. So those are the three points. Resurrection power, childlike faith, having a vision. Let's pray. I need to pray. God, thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for an incredible time of worship. God, I thank you that you're stirring up things in our lives. God, I thank you that you're always up to something. Whether we see it or not, whether we recognize it or not, you're always up to something. So God, show us what you're up to this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, Merle mentioned in the midst of his Easter sermon that sometimes as adults, we grow out of faith. That was like a punch in the gut. He was telling this story about, you know, hypothetical. You take a group of kids and you're like, guys, we're going to Hawaii to study volcanoes. And the kids are like, yeah! And they're running out the door. Half of them don't even have pants on yet. And it's like, okay, let's go. And you tell a group of adults, hey guys, we're going to Hawaii to study volcanoes. Before you can even say, you can finish Hawaii, they're already thinking, yeah, but who's going to pay for it? How are we going to get there? What's your agenda? Da, da, da. You get all, you know, get lost in all the abstract things that haven't even happened yet. You don't even give it a shot. So, not that we have to go exploring volcanoes in Hawaii, but I think we just need to be willing to dig a little bit to go after the deeper things of God. Because we all have our proverbial volcanoes in Hawaii. We've all got that thing that God is calling us into that is way bigger than we want to accept. And I think God's asking us just to desire a little bit, at least just a little bit, to allow him to show him extraordinary opportunities in just ordinary moments of your life. To allow him to stir up supernatural activity within your natural lives. Because I believe each one of you, each one of us, when we walked into this room, something supernatural happened. There was a collaboration of gifts and abilities, talents and experiences, things that you brought into this room, that you specifically brought, you, sitting there in your own chair, brought into this room that nobody else in this world could have brought. A combination of gifts and abilities, talents, background. And you put that all together. You put it all, this is what I'm bringing. I'm bringing gifts, I'm bringing talents. That's pretty special. And I don't think we give ourselves enough credit. Because I look at it like this. I think the supernatural gifts that you have are probably, a lot of them, they're what we call second nature. You don't even recognize you're doing it at times. Okay, God's that good, I believe. God's that good that he will work through you without you even recognizing it. It becomes natural. You become naturally supernatural. And we call it second nature at times. You know, for me, joy. Joy, excitement, seeing the big picture. These are things that I carry without even trying to carry. I just do it. It's second nature. It's supernatural, though. Joy in the midst of trials. Joy, faith in the midst of hard things. Believing that everything is possible because of the promises of God. That's supernatural. It's not normal to the world, in other words. It's not normal to the world. But oftentimes, I get so bogged down by like the daily routine, the mundane tasks, the this, that, and then the others, and I lose sight of what's really going on, what's really happening in the world around me. And I need to be reminded. We need to be reminded. You have incredible gifts, and God is working in and through you. Let's look at a scripture here that I think illustrates this point. Challenging, but illustrates it. So let's read it. John 14, 10, 11, and 12. Don't you believe that this is Jesus talking, by the way. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works. Because I am going to be with the Father. This verse challenges me like crazy. I didn't mention this in my buildup, the background, but when I was praying and asking the Lord for some vision for this message, I heard him say, Gordon, I want you to preach a sermon that you need to hear. Okay. I need to hear this. If you take verse 12 here, and I did a little digging, because this is one of these scriptures that I see, and I'm like, yeah, but like, what does the Greek really say? What is the greater works that he's mentioning here? Because it can't mean miracles, right? Well, I'll tell you this. This may have been, when the Greek scholars were like drawing straws to see who was going to interpret which parts of the New Testament, the guy who drew 14, John 14, 10 through 12, was like, yes, I got the easy one. Because that's what it means. It means Jesus telling us, I'm going to go with the Father. I'm going to conquer death, right? I'm going to rise from the dead and go to the Father. That's what he's saying. I'm going to give you that same power. And all the works that I've done, that's the same word that he uses to describe the miracles and the other things he does throughout the book of John. He's talking about you and me doing what he did very explicitly. So this challenges me like crazy. And this whole, I don't want to get away from this, because this resurrection power is something that we can kind of gloss over and again say, yeah, Jesus, you're probably meaning something else, right? You can't really mean that. Because what we tend to do, what I tend to do, I think we all do this, is we start defining scripture by our experience in life. Well, but God, I've never actually like walked on water. So you can't mean that. But let's be real. The scriptures are true whether we believe it or not. The scriptures are to define our experience, to give us permission to live the life that God is giving us the power to live. That is what I want to get out of this and say, okay, that's supposed to be normal for Christians. The disciples probably heard that and thought, well, I guess we have actually seen you do some miracles. Peter's like, well, I did walk on water that one time for like a step. But you know, he's up in heaven right now like, hey, I walked on water. He did. He walked more steps on water than anybody else that I know besides Jesus himself. But I want to just redefine normal for a second. Because if this is true, then all the other things are true in Scripture too. Like righteousness, peace, joy in every circumstance. Like that's normal. That's true. That's reality. So if that's true and that's normal for Christians, then we need to figure out when we're not experiencing that, like what to do next. What do we do when if righteousness is real, but I'm not experiencing, well, I don't feel like I'm righteous. I don't feel like I'm living in faith right now. Then we need to figure out what's going on and make the next step. Let's be dissatisfied with brokenness and pain and bondage and shame. Let's be dissatisfied with that, because that's not normal for a Christian living in resurrection power. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. I like the ESV version of this. I think this shows us kind of, in a sense, how to get there. How to make that jump from, I'm recognizing something's wrong. I'm not experiencing joy like the Bible says I'm supposed to experience it. So what do I do? Verse 18. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image as Jesus, from one degree of glory to another, from glory to glory. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, the key here is to be able to answer this question. What are you beholding? Because this says, when you behold the glory of the Lord, you're transformed from glory to glory. So what are you beholding? If you're looking for something, more than likely you'll find it. So if I'm looking for trouble, I'll find trouble. If I'm looking for problems, fear, whatever, fill in the blank, I'll probably find it. But if you're looking for God in your circumstances, guess what? You'll find him. Unless you're just looking at Instagram. I don't. Because you can look at that too. You become what you behold. That's my statement that I'm going to hold on to from this. You become what you behold. Because when we look for Jesus, we find him. Then we begin to act like him. And then we give him glory, and then we do it again. It's this beautiful cycle. We look for Jesus. We behold the glory of God. We find him. We act like him because we see what he's doing. We do it, and it's like, Well, I'm becoming like Jesus. And what Jesus did was he gave the glory right back to the Father. And then we do it again. So I plead with you, church. Behold the glory of God. And this glory to glory, the greater works, again, just to remind you, I am talking about miracles. I'm talking about healings, resurrection power. I'm talking about walking on water. Part of the reason I've never walked on water is I've never tried. Just saying. I'm talking about seeing people set free from addictions. I'm talking about marriages being restored. I'm talking about living with the greatest hope on earth and in heaven. That's what I'm talking about. But if we're to live with this resurrection power, we've got to believe it. We've got to have childlike faith. In fact, we need an ongoing experience of God's word and his spirit. Because we got to know it's true. We got to know what to believe is possible. And that's, again, where faith comes in. So faith like a child. Let's go back to this verse here. Verse 10. It says believe so many times through this. You can highlight it, write it down, make your own tally marks. But don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. The words I speak are not my own. But my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Jesus is setting up something pretty big right here. Jesus is saying, don't you believe that I am in the Father is in me. We have the same nature. We are unified. Now, Jesus didn't say, don't you realize that I'm just God walking around in a human body? Like, I can do whatever I want. He didn't necessarily say that. He said, the words I speak aren't even my own. But my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Jesus laid down his rights as God to come to earth and be a person like you, like me, to show us what's possible when you're unified with God. So just believe, verse 11, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. At least believe because of the works you've seen me do. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater because I am going to be with the Father. Again, Jesus doesn't show us just how amazing the Father is because he does that. That's one of his primary goals. The other thing he does is he's saying, I'm going to be with the Father. This is pre-resurrection, but he's setting it up. I'm going to defeat the devil. I'm going to defeat death. I'm going back to where I came from. And because of that, you get to live with that same power. It's like you guys have all the information you need. Now you just need an impartation. Take it. Run with it. Do what I did. Do greater things than I did. I love it. Jesus is always setting the standard and saying, and then jump off that and go even higher. Go even higher. Jesus, all of his miracles too, they pointed back to a loving and merciful Father. Always, every time. So I did this. I took my kids to Chick-fil-A yesterday by myself. My wife had other plans. She's like, you're going to take the kids? I'm out. Smart woman. But my kids love Chick-fil-A. And it was rainy, and you know, I thought, well, they got to get some energy out somewhere. They've got a roof, so they can play on that playground with the roof. Well, so we eat, they play. I even got them ice dream. That's what they call it at Chick-fil-A, ice dream. And then they finish their ice dream, and we're driving out of the parking lot. And my son goes, Dad, let's go to Sweet Frog. You just had ice cream, man. Now you want frozen yogurt? And it wasn't that he was dissatisfied. Like, it wasn't like he was disappointed, or it wasn't as though he was ungrateful. He was so happy that we went to Chick-fil-A. He just wanted to test and see how good I really was. And So I love my kids a lot, so I said no. But their response was to the goodness of their father. And just seeing, how good are you? How good are you? Jesus died for our sins. He showed us a love unlike anything that has ever been done before. And then he came back to life. Jesus, what else can you do? We will never exhaust the Father's goodness. That is childlike faith. I dare you to try to exhaust the Father's goodness. But without vision, it's going to be hard to go anywhere. Proverbs 29:18. Yes, I use the King James Version because I like the words keepeth and happy. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. That's terrible. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I think, first of all, I like that the Bible says happy. I think as Christians, we underestimate happiness a little bit. Here's a thought. Jesus keepeth the law perfectly. He was the happiest man ever. Right? I love that. I love thinking about Jesus being happy. So vision. Recognize where you are. This is how I break down vision. Vision is recognizing where you are, knowing where the starting line is, and then having a path towards the finish line. So you have to first recognize where you are. The most frustrating thing for me is I love using my GPS on my phone, but it has this tendency to always like reload my location when I'm starting, and it takes forever. Maybe I just need a new phone. But it like recalibrates my GPS location as I'm trying to go. And what I'll do, because I'm very impatient, is I'll just start driving. And then the next thing you know, I'm having to turn around because I'm going the wrong way. Because my GPS finally kicks in. And it's like, hey, I'm actually supposed to go this way. So when you think about this verse, where there is no vision, the people perish. So the opposite, if you have vision, you can thrive. It's an opportunity. And then you go back to this verse, and if your vision is the glory of God, beholding the glory of God, becoming what you behold, setting your sights on something so grand and so amazing, and then letting him take you from glory to glory to glory. You become what you behold. So what are you growing in? What are you beholding? What's your vision? Are you growing toward your vision? I think I have something here. There we go. Are you growing toward the vision that God's given you? Or are you just moving away from something else that you don't want to be involved with? Now, there's value to both, okay? Like, you can move away from sin, which is you should do that. Or you can move toward something that makes everything else pale in comparison to it. You can move toward a God who says, I love you, I'm for you, I'm always with you. I'll pick you up when you fall down, just keep moving toward me. Or you can like navigate this minefield of sin, like try not to slip and get your shirt dirty. That's exhausting. Do you get what I'm saying? You can move away, like I can not want to gain weight, right? Or I can want to be in good shape and I want to look fantastic. I'm just saying. You can either gain pleasure beholding the glory of God, or you can just want to avoid pain. Just don't want to get hurt by anything. Let me tell you this. There's no drug. There's no amount of money. There's no person. Nothing satisfies the greatest pleasure. Nothing satisfies you like Jesus. If you don't believe me, I'll just ask, have you asked him to satisfy you in that way? Because he's not just some good idea. Jesus isn't a good idea. He's a good person. He's amazing. So I'm going to wrap this up because I've got something here. This is like, I don't know, this sort of popped up on accident on my PowerPoint. And I just started filling it out. I was like, oh, that kind of looks cool. So we're going to go with it. The question that I want to answer is there a link between your area of growth, your calling, the vision that God has given you, and your daily tasks? Because again, we can get all stirred up. I can get all stirred up with this conversation with my wife and be so dissatisfied with where I am and then do nothing about it and a year later have the exact same conversation about the same dissatisfactions. Or we can do something about it. So vision. We've been talking about vision. What is the vision that God is giving you for your life? Uncover your vision. Ask God your questions. Ask him why. And then, when you know where you're starting, when you know where that starting line is, because you have to recognize where you are. And that's what I'm calling that holy dissatisfaction. I'm dissatisfied with being mundane. I'm dissatisfied with settling for anything less than the best, because it's a felony. So vision is being able to see, but it's not with our natural eyes necessarily. It's with our hearts and our minds. So know where you're starting from. That's like 90% of success, and I just made that number up because, I don't know, it's just a big point. The point is, you got to know where the starting line is. Number two, listen to his answers because he'll give you strategy. He'll give you solutions to your problems. He does. He is the solution to everything. And then step three is to take a step. Just take a step. And do something that you know to do. I call this like making a layup. I used to play basketball. And I would be shooting warm-ups and bricking every shot. And my coach would pull me aside and just go, hey, Gordon, just make a layup. And I'd see the ball go in and go, oh, yeah, there isn't, you know, a board across the top of the hoop. That ball actually does fit in that basket. I can believe it. I can believe that I can make a shot. So, like, wash a dish for your spouse or your mom or somebody. You know, I know you know how to do dishes. Serve in that way. Serve in a little way. Read your Bible for 5 minutes. Just crack it open to the middle. So just start somewhere. That's the point. Start somewhere. And then step four is to repeat step three. Take another step. Take another step. And maybe this time take a little risk. Again, Peter walked on water. He's up in heaven right now. My name means rock, but I walked on water. I didn't put this one up here, but I think it's important to say. I'd say 4B, if you want to just write this down, recalibrate. Circle back to that vision and make sure you're staying on course. Make sure you're staying in an ongoing experience of God's love, ongoing experience of his word, ongoing experience of his spirit. And 4C, I'd say this, is don't do it alone. Look around this room. You at least have these people. But I'm sure you have others who would love to walk through this, to walk with you. They want to experience glory to glory in their lives. Invite others into it. Worship team, can you guys come up? As they come up, I want to say something, because here's a trap that I'll fall into sometimes in regards to this, is I'll simplify this into like a really easy, man, I'm so excited about Jesus kind of statement. And then I won't do anything about it. Here's an honest statement, I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but I said a couple jokes today, and I hope you guys aren't like, man, Gordon was funny. He loves Jesus. He's excited about Jesus. Good for him. I hope I didn't just inspire you to be excited. Just put it that way. I hope the Holy Spirit right now is empowering you into action for the kingdom of God. And for all of us, we're going to close in a worship song. And I want you to ask the Lord to show you his vision for your life. Maybe you've never done that. Or maybe you do that every morning. You wake up, God, what do you have for me today? But ask him this morning to show you, to clarify something. He may give you a word. He may download an entire manifesto. That's great. But God loves it when we ask him questions. Because he's mysterious, yes, but he's not hidden. And he wants to be found. And he's good. He's so good. You know, one of the most supernatural things that Jesus did was he listened. I only did what the Father told me to do. Telling somebody, speaking something. If you speak and nobody listens, what's the point? But man, if you're listening to God, doing what he says, Jesus, he listened in a supernatural way. So I'm going to invite the ministry team up as well. Ministry team, can you, all elders, pastors, whoever, ministry team, yeah, there we go. We got some movement now. I love it. Because I want to respond in some different ways. And I want to respond while we sing. Is that okay? You can sing and move around at the same time. Because for some of us, this has been a really important reminder of what's really important. We've been challenged to put our priorities back in order, to actually seek God first before anything else. But to be honest, maybe we're not growing like we want to. If that's you, I want you to come up and imagine what's possible in your life again. Imagine what's possible in this community as you begin to seek God's power in your life to see greater works happen all around you. For others, we need to recommit our lives back to the Lord. We gotta say, you know what? My GPS is finally loaded and I know where I am and it's not where I want to be. Come forward. These people would love to pray with you. And finally, for some of us, this is the moment that you're realizing you've been actually going on your own. And you want to make a decision right now, this morning, to realize the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in your life. And you want to experience life with God. So come forward. These people would love nothing more than to pray with you. So we're going to worship. I'm going to invite you to stand. And as we worship, come forward and get prayer. It's okay if there's a line, you can worship as you wait. But please, if you want prayer for anything, don't let this moment pass.